You take your Bibles and turn to Psalm chapter 23, and just as you're getting settled in, I just want to forewarn you, I am going to ask you to stand here just a couple of minutes, so you can be prepared for that. So I know sometimes you get kind of all settled in, and then I make you stand, and you go, oh, okay. So Psalm 23, you know, we have many types of animals that are domesticated for our good in this world. You know, you think of cattle and pigs and goats and other domesticated animals. Of all of the domesticated animals, sheep are recognized as being those which require the most work. Sheep require a shepherd. They require somebody to oversee them, because left to themselves, they're actually self-destructive. They will graze ground until it becomes absolutely worthless, and they will do really dumb things. Now let's not overblow that. I was reading a story from a shepherd. And by the way, here's something to think about. Shepherds today don't actually call themselves, in many cases, shepherds anymore. In fact, you know, we have sheep herders, we have sheep ranchers, we have farmers. Very few people who raise sheep say, I'm a shepherd. You know why that is? Because shepherds are kind of like the lowest person on the totem pole. Even today, they are very low regarded. In fact, I don't know if you knew this. I did not know this. But back in 1870, here in the United States, there were what were called the Sheep Wars. As people were moving west, the cattle ranchers and the sheep herders began to get into conflict with one another. And there were actually 154 sheep herders, shepherds, that were killed over the course of 20 or 30 years in these sheep wars. And the shepherds were considered to be the lowest on the totem pole. And so we don't have shepherds today. We have sheep ranchers. They're shepherds. But anyway, sheep require a great deal of work. And if the shepherd isn't taking care of them, then they're self-destructive. And that's why it's so important. It's so critical as to who the shepherd is. And as we come into Psalm 23, it is because, as we'll see, it is because the Lord is our shepherd that there is no want. It's because of who the shepherd is. That's what makes all the difference in the world to a sheep, because they need lots of care. And as I began to say, and I interrupted my own thought here a minute ago, we tend to say sheep are stupid, right? I was reading a blog article by one of these sheep herders. He calls himself shepherd. He was saying, you know, that's only people that say that sheep are dumb are only those that don't raise them or only have 10 or fewer. So sheep are actually intelligent animals. Now, they have some dumb behaviors that we look at and go, in fact, we're going to talk about one of those this morning. But they have some dumb behaviors, but actually they're very smart in the way that they live together and they work together in community and the way that they raise their young. And so there is a correlation there between you and I. We are smart. God created us with intelligence. We just do dumb stuff from time to time, don't we? All right, well, we're talking from Psalm 23 about the only sure ground for our comfort and our contentment. And I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know what's going on in your life. I know many of you. I know what's going on, but I don't know all of you. And maybe over this last week, something new has cropped up in your life that I don't yet know about. So I don't know where you're tempted this morning to be fearful or anxious or to be discontented. But the reason we're in this psalm is so that we can spend some time together as a congregation and focus on the Good Shepherd and understand that the only sure ground, the only foundation for our comfort and contentment is Christ. That can be the only place that the anxieties and the fears and whatever it is that you're dealing with this morning, whatever you brought here, the only way you can unload that is if you unload it onto Christ. And that's what Psalm 23 is about. In fact, to best understand Psalm 23, we need to understand that it is the look at the life cycle of a sheep, an annual life cycle of a sheep. And if we understand the psalm from that, we work our way through the life of a sheep, and we'll see how the various ways a shepherd cares for that sheep and how that really looks like our lives today and how the Lord cares for us. So I said to you we're going to stand, and I'm going to have you do that now. I'm going to have you stand, and we're going to read together Psalm 23. And we're going to do it this way, though, okay? We're going to read this together, but we're going to do it this way. This side over here, from this side, you guys are the right side, okay? Now, that doesn't mean like correct side. That means directionally right. You guys are the left side over here. So when the screen says right, that's you. When it says left, that's you. And there'll be two places where it says all, and that's all, okay? So let's read this together. The Lord is my shepherd, I do not want. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Father, we want to come before you now and acknowledge that we need you. Lord, you are the good shepherd, and it's only because you are our shepherd that we do not want. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to lean into that thought this morning, that you would help us to understand that we can trust you. Lord, we can look to you. Lord, we need you to illuminate our eyes and our understanding this morning, to challenge us, to comfort us, to convict us where we need, and we recognize that only you can do that. And so we plead with you for that help. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So here's the question we are meditating on. What is the only sure ground for our comfort and contentment? What is the only sure ground for our comfort and contentment? And if you were here last week, you know what we're doing here last week, this week, and next, is we're just meditating together on Psalm 23. And so if for those of you that know me well, you know that normally my messages are self-contained. We have generally 3 points, and we move through those things and we complete. But we're doing things a little bit differently. We're meditating together. And so I say that again to say I'm not sure exactly how far we're going to get this morning. We're just going to work through this together and talk about it and see where the Lord leads us this morning. Because after all, he is the one that leads us, right, to still waters. So we're going to let him lead us this morning. So listen, let's go back here. What is the only sure ground for our comfort and contentment? What we found last week is that the truth that the Lord is my shepherd, that's the only sure ground for my comfort and contentment. The Lord is my shepherd. That is the heading of this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. And it's because of that that I do not want. The Lord is my shepherd, therefore I do not want. Therefore I lack for nothing. And as we saw last week, that challenges us. In fact, we spent the whole time last week just looking at that statement. The Lord is my shepherd, I do not want. And we thought about the Lord being our shepherd and him being my shepherd. And we talked about what a shepherd is and what it means not to want. And it's not that we don't have desires in this world. We do. But I hold those desires loosely in my palm, recognizing that my greatest need in this world is Jesus. Recognizing that because he is my greatest need, nothing else really matters in the end. Jesus says it this way in another passage. He says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world, but to lose his soul? So you can have everything in this life that you think you might want and not have that which matters most and perish. And so if we truly understand that Jesus is the provider, that Jesus is the one who gives us that which we need most, he is the good shepherd, then what do I want for in this world? If I trust that he is sovereign and in control of all things and he is good, where do I lack? And my feeling of lack, my feeling of need in this world really comes from either a belief that my good shepherd is incompetent or that he's not good. And that challenges my own heart, because I know, just to be honest with you, there are many times when in my own heart I'm struggling with discontentment. I'm struggling with dissatisfaction. I'm struggling with anxieties and fears. And when I am, I have to remember the Lord brings me back and says, Kelly, I'm the good shepherd and you're my sheep. They go, oh, okay. Therefore, I do not want. I didn't want for anything. So that statement, if we go back, the Lord is my shepherd, therefore I do not want. The rest of the psalm tells us why this is so. It's like, because, and then it goes on. So as we move on, it says, because then he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's why I don't want for anything, because the Lord does this. And then we'll go on and finish that psalm next week. We may get a little bit further this morning, but let's focus in on this statement. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. First of all, it says, he makes me lie down. He makes me lie down. Other translations say, he causes me to lie down. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? That he has to make us to lie down. Well, why won't sheep lie down? You know, there's four primary reasons why a sheep won't lie down. First, a sheep won't lie down because of fear or anxiety. If the sheep is afraid that there might be predators in the area, there's some problem or something, sheep are very skittish. They're very fearful animals. And so if they're afraid, they won't lie down because they're restless and they need to be up. Sheep are defenseless. Think about it. They have no way of defending themselves, do they? Other than to run away. And so if they're lying down, if a predator were to come, they got to get up and then run away. And so out of defense, they don't lie down if they're afraid, if they're anxious. There's another reason they won't lie down is because, you know, flies and other insects harass animals and they harass sheep. They will fly around them and buzz around them. If you've ever been around animals, you know, you watch a horse, for example, with its tail swatting at those flies. Well, sheep have that same problem. They have all of this going on around them, these pests that are annoying, and they can't lie down if that's the case. They also won't lie down because within the sheep herd, there is what we call a butting order. In chicken, we call it the pecking order, right? In sheep, you call it the butting order. Sheep have an order. They have a hierarchy of who's in charge, who is the female sheep that is the dominant one. And they gain their dominance by butting each other. It's interesting in Scripture, in Ezekiel chapter 34, when the Lord talks about the shepherds not caring for the sheep, he talks about the sheep butting each other out of the way of food. And that's what will happen. You see, so one of the dominant ewes will come along and think that this grass, this patch of grass that other sheep is eating is better than what she has, and she'll come over and butt that other sheep out of the way. And rams will butt too. In fact, if you're a shepherd, you need to be always, you never turn your back on a ram. Because if you do, you might find that there's a butting order. And I won't go any further than that. You know, you can maybe guess where you get butted. Anyway. That's such a picture of us, isn't it? How our Lord, we often think that we can gain dominance, that we can gain our place, that we can butt the Lord out of the way, our shepherd. So there's the butting order, and sheep won't lie down if there's this contention amongst them, if they're kind of fighting amongst themselves, they're not able or willing to lie down. And finally, sheep won't lie down if they're hungry. Sheep will not lie down if they're hungry because they need to be eating. I did not know this, but sheep is a ruminating animal. They chew their cud. And so when sheep lie down, what they're doing is they're lying down to chew their cud and to rest. But if they're hungry, they won't lie down. So if we understand this, we read this passage, he makes me lie down. What are the things in your life that prevent you from lying down in your heart? What are the things that distract you or that cause you anxiety? Let's just talk about anxiety for a minute. What are the things that you're afraid of in this world? The things that cause anxiety and fear and worry? You see, if you are struggling in your life with anxiety, if you're struggling your life with fear or worry, your heart won't lie down. You're going to be restless, looking around, trying to figure things out. But what is the ability to lie down come to? It comes to that beginning statement, the Lord is my shepherd. If the Lord is my shepherd, then what do I have to worry about? What do I have to fear? What is there in my life that would cause such anxiety that in my heart I'd be unwilling to lie down and rest? Now, I don't know what makes you anxious. I'll be honest with you. There have been times in my life where I have struggled with like this kind of low-grade anxiety where I'm just, in fact, years and years ago, there were at least twice in my life where I ended up going to the hospital thinking there might have been a heart issue. And having the doctor just tell me, it's just anxiety. You're just stressed. I'm thinking, I don't know what about. I can't identify in my own heart what it is that I'm anxious about. But what I do know is this, that underneath that, and listen, our hearts are like a deep well, aren't they? They're like a deep well. The water is way down in there, and it takes great effort to bring the water out. And it's dark down in there, and you can't see. And you lower the water down, and you're trying to dig out or bring out what's in the heart. And the human heart is like this deep, dark well. Sometimes it's really difficult to know what's down in there. Isn't that what Jeremiah means when he says, the heart is more deceitful than all else, it is desperately wicked. Who can understand it? I can't even understand my own heart. And so there are times when I'm anxious and I'm worried and I can't identify what it is. And sometimes I need the Lord to come and to shine the light down into the well of my heart and to show me what it is that I'm worrying about and to give that over to Him. Listen, I know in our world that when we talk especially about anxiety, we want to find all kinds of reasons outside of my own heart why I'm anxious. We want to find all kinds of solutions to my anxiety that are apart from my heart. But the Lord tells me that my anxiety and my fear is rooted in my heart. And the Lord wants to come along and He wants to help you understand what it is that you're fearing so that you can say, the Lord is my shepherd. And I can give over that anxiety to Him and lie down. And, we also have all kinds of distractions in this world, don't we? We won't lie down because we're so distracted by all the stuff going on around us. And one of the distractions we have is to harass. Satan loves to harass believers. He harasses you with temptation. He harasses you with relationships that come into your life that seek to distract you. And it's a good shepherd, as we'll talk later, that anoints the sheep's head with oil and allows that sheep to overcome the harassment of those pests. But there are so many times in our life when we won't go to Him. We won't go to Him for His care. We want to try to figure it out on our own. And then, of course, we spend so much time comparing, don't we? Comparing one to the other and figuring out who's better. Even the disciples had that problem, didn't they? Many times the disciples would argue amongst themselves, who's the greatest in the kingdom? Who's got the bigger spiritual resume, right? And Jesus had to confront the disciples more than once. In fact, He had to confront them right before His crucifixion because they were arguing about who would be the greatest in the kingdom. And are we any different? We have our butting order, don't we? We have in the church our list of comparisons where I've got my spiritual resume put together and I can say, well, but I've done, and I can list off all of the things that I've done in the kingdom that qualify me to be higher up in that hierarchy. And if we're doing that, your heart won't lie down. You won't rest. Because you're going to be working, laboring in your heart to try to achieve that place and keep that place and maybe even advance your place. Jesus makes you lie down in your heart. Jesus is the one that can come along and say, listen, those who are first shall be last, but those who are last shall be first. You be willing to be last. You know what's interesting about the butting order in sheep? The ones, the ewes, that's the female sheep, the ewes that have this dominance mentality are the ones that have the hardest time resting and lying down. But those sheep that are at the bottom of the pecking or the butting order, those sheep don't have trouble lying down because they'll lie down most any place. They can be content even in those places that are not the best because they're not worried about their butting order. You see, when we allow the Lord to come along and say, listen, The last shall be first. Then that allows our hearts to lie down. And then, of course, the Lord is the one that feeds us. And that leads us into this next one. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Because, see, hungry sheep won't lie down. He makes me lie down in green pastures. You know, good pasture land is essential for the growth and health of a sheep. If you don't have good pasture land, then not only, as we'll see here in a minute, not only will they have good food, but they won't have good water. Good pasture land is essential. But good pasture land, you think about this from David's perspective, writing this as a shepherd. David raised sheep in the Middle East, a very arid, dry place. And so what would it take in that arid land of the Middle East to have green pastures? It takes hard work and diligence from the shepherd to labor over the land to ensure that the land produces good, healthy, vibrant pasture land. And that's what sheep need, and that's what the Lord is saying. He's going to make us lie down in green pastures. And I think that what that should do is it should cause us to contemplate our good shepherd who has cared for your surroundings. He has cared for the pasture lands that he's put you in such that there is vibrant green grass and flowering plants for us to eat on. And you say, well, Kelly, what is that? Well, the food that we feed on as believers is his word. And he has richly supplied us with food abundantly in his word. Jesus says, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the Lord's mouth. The bread of life is the word. And the word, it's not just that we're reading the Bible for the Bible's sake, but we read the Bible so that we learn about the Good Shepherd. It feeds our souls on who God is, who Christ is. And what we learn is, as a Good Shepherd, he has labored to prepare a pasture land that you and I can feed from and grow from. The question is, though, are we leaning into that? You know, Tammy and I had to be out in Colorado for a couple of days, and we were coming home from Colorado. We drive, and if you're familiar with Colorado Springs area, but if you go east out of Colorado Springs, you can go out through Lyman and then up north to Brush, and kind of out the back way. You go up Highway 24 all the way out to Lyman and then 71 north from there. And that Highway 24, there's a lot of ranch land out there. And as we were driving along, we were noting, last week, if you were here, we talked about Mrs. Gadabout, the sheep that was not content with the pasture land that the sheep had been given. Well, we were driving along, and these weren't sheep, they were cattle. But we noticed that there were several cattle right along the fence line. Now, if you look to the pasture land that the cattle were in, it was all green, and it looked vibrant and healthy. But here are these cattle with their necks stuck underneath the fence, trying to get that grass over on the other side. You think, why? There's plenty right behind you. What is it about the grass that's on the other side? He makes you lie down in green pastures, but if you don't think that the pastures that the Lord has given to you is green, then you won't lie down. You won't rest. You're going to be sticking your neck out, trying to get under the fence, trying to get that which doesn't belong to you, that which the Lord didn't provide. Contentment is found in understanding that God has given you what you need. He's given you the food that you need. And that food is found in his word. It's found in the fellowship of the saints as we share that word with one another. Do you share that with your friends? What is it that you share? Do you share the word with your friends? Is that how you encourage and comfort from the word? Or do we encourage and comfort with other sources of nourishment that aren't really nourishment at all? The Lord is our shepherd, and he makes us lie down in green pastures. And then he leads me beside quiet waters. You know that sheep are 70% water? And if they don't have enough water, their cells and whatnot, they won't have the vibrancy, and they won't have the health and life that they need. And so that's a lot. I don't know. I've heard it. That's a high percentage for you and me, too. We need lots of water. Tammy is always after me for not drinking water. In our house, water solves every problem. If you break your arm and you come in and say, "I broke my arm," Tammy will say, "Did you drink any water?" Okay, I'm exaggerating a little bit. Water is very important, though, isn't it? We go over and teach in Africa every year and have the opportunity to be over there with the students. And it is amazing. You can tell when they're drinking their water and they're not by how alert they are in class. If they start getting droopy and you say, "Hey, get some water, drink water," it's amazing how that water revitalizes them. Water is essential for us to live. It's essential for sheep. And the sources of water, if you think about a sheep, their sources for water would be, of course, watering holes or streams of water. But here's the place that is interesting to me. When sheep are grazing in green pasture land, sheep by habit get up just before the sun and begin to graze when the dew is most vibrant or most present on the grass. And actually, when sheep are in green pasture land, they can go for periods of weeks without drinking water because they're getting their water from the dew off of the grass. And it isn't interesting that when we read this, "He leads me beside quiet waters." What could be more quiet in forms of water other than the dew that's on the grass? David understood sheep. He understood what they needed. He understood that they needed to be led to good watering holes. They need to be led to places where they could have plenty of water. Sheep are restless when they're thirsty. And you know, it's interesting that sheep, if they're not watched carefully and cared for by the shepherd, sheep will drink water from polluted water holes even when they have good, clean water sources right there around them. I mentioned Philip Keller last week, who wrote a book entitled Psalm 23, A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23. And he tells a story once of herding sheep down this hill. And there was a stream running down this hill. There was plenty of good, fresh water. And he observed one sheep that stopped to drink out of a puddle of water that all of the sheep had walked through, and some of them had urinated in, and that sheep stopped to drink out of that watering hole when there was fresh water right there. And so the shepherd had to go and, "No, don't drink there. There are worms and other bacteria in that that's going to make you sick." Isn't it interesting that it takes the shepherd, a good shepherd, to lead us beside quiet waters? Because by our nature, we're going to drink from polluted water sources. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah is near the middle of your Bible. It's one of what we call the major prophets, only because it's big. It's right after Isaiah, so if you come to Isaiah, just go a little bit further. Jeremiah chapter 2. There's one passage in here I want to look at with you in this idea of water and where we turn. Chapter 2, verse 13 says this. The Lord says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Now, I don't know if you know what a cistern is. In the Middle East, they needed water sources. They needed to collect water for themselves because it's a dry area. So they would hew out or cut out holes into the rock, and then they would put mortar in there so that it would collect water and keep water for them for drinking. And so a cistern was just a way of collecting water. We use cisterns today in water collection and in water keeping for drinking. And so here you have people committing two evils, and it's really one thing, but it's just two ways of looking at this one thing that people are doing. He says, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. That's the one thing. They've turned away from the Lord as their source of water. And they have hewn for themselves cisterns. But these cisterns are broken. And they hold no water. Now, I want you to think about this for just a second. I want you to think of this picture where you have this cistern that is broken. It's cracked. It's leaking. It won't hold water. Now, it'll hold water. So if water, it rains real hard and the waters come, it fills up. But then what happens? Over time, and maybe even depending on the crack, maybe even fairly quickly, that water will drain out and it won't be there anymore. And that's the imagery that is used here of these people who've hewn out for themselves cisterns that are broken. And well, what is the illustration for you and me today? What does this apply to? Well, there are so many things in this world from which we seek to get our satisfaction. There are so many people or things or dreams that we're counting on, that we're looking to for our source of satisfaction. And I say, I'm not satisfied. I'm discontented. I'm restless. And why? You see, because I'm drinking from a broken cistern. And although there are times when there's water in that cistern and it feels like it's satisfying me, the water quickly runs out and then I find myself thirsting and anxious, looking for more water. Isn't that like life? There are so many times when maybe it's a relationship you're after. Maybe it's a job that you're after. Or maybe it's a financial position. Or maybe it's, you fill in the blank. You know what you tend to struggle against or what you're wanting. And that's become the source of hope for you. That's become the source of life for you. But if you're not looking to Jesus to ultimately fill that need, that water runs out. That cistern is broken. And you're going to find yourself restless and thirsty and anxious. Listen, I want to encourage you this morning. If you're struggling with anxiety or worry or discontent, I would say that the Lord wants you to remember to do two things. Number one, to ask yourself, where are you getting your satisfaction from? What is your source that's not supplying you? What is it? Is it family? Is it friends? What is it that's not supplying you? And then number two, you need to remember that it is Jesus that leads you beside the quiet waters. It is Jesus that provides you. He is the living water for you. He says in John 4:10, and this is with the woman at the well, Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would give you living water. Jesus is the only source of life, of water to you, that will satisfy your thirst. So we need to move on. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. Doesn't that beg this question? Why should sheep need to be restored? If you're thinking about this, there's a good shepherd, and he's caring for these sheep. So what is it about a sheep that they would need to be restored? Have you ever heard of cast sheep? Or to be cast down? Sheep will become cast. They'll actually fall over. They lie down, and they sometimes they'll root themselves into a depression in the ground trying to get comfortable. And for various reasons, the center of gravity will shift, and they will roll up onto their back. And they'll be unable to get up. In fact, just to help you illustrate, to see this, I've given you some pictures. Here are some cast sheep. So that sheep, he's not going to get up on his own. So there's another cast sheep. And they will sit there. In fact, if you'd like, if you have some free time, you can go and you can watch YouTube videos of cast sheep and people trying to help this little sheep get up. There's another one. They're pathetic, aren't they? These poor cast sheep, they need to be restored, don't they? And the scriptures say, he restores me. He restores my soul. You know, sheep get cast for a variety of reasons. Oftentimes, a pregnant ewe will, because she's pregnant, she will lie down and be resting, and she'll lose her center of gravity. And if the shepherd isn't there to take care of that sheep and to restore that sheep quickly, that sheep may perish. In fact, if it's particularly hot and dry, that sheep may only have a few hours before that sheep will perish. Now, if it's cold and moist, that sheep may be there for days, but it will eventually die because they can't get up. So pregnant sheep will sometimes be cast. Sheep that are overweight, they're fat. In fact, it's interesting, if you read Good Shepherding, I've been reading these various agricultural articles and whatnot on shepherding, and you discover that sometimes the shepherd has to put sheep on diets because they get too fat, and you think, well, you want them fat, right? Well, actually, they get too fat, and they can become cast too easily, and so you've got to cut them back on their food supply, so they don't have to overweight, and then there are times when the wool becomes so heavy on them, and it gets matted down with all kinds of stuff in the wool. And because that wool becomes so heavy on them when they lie down, they lose their center of gravity and they roll over and become cast. Isn't it interesting how those things can sometimes apply to us? You think about it. We can gorge ourselves in the things of this world and become fat and comfortable, can't we? We can become plump sheep in this world, having eaten our fill of worldly stuff. You think of all the junk food that Americans eat. But think about all the junk food that we as Christians eat. And I'm not talking about McDonald's. I'm talking about the garbage that we take in what we watch, into what we read, in what we listen to, what we think is valuable and important in this world, and we gorge ourselves on the things of this world. And if anybody in this world is fat, it's Western, it's the West, it's America. We are fat, we're rich, we've got an overabundance. And we can become cast. We become so gorged in this world that we lose our center of gravity and we roll over and we start to flail about. And it takes the Lord coming and restoring us. Or we get cluttered up with all kinds of stuff. You know, I'm amazed at how much stuff we accumulate. You know, it's been a few years ago now since we moved, but the last move that we did, I don't know, if you think you don't have a lot of stuff until you start digging it out of those nooks and crannies, or you have stuff everywhere. Think, why do I have this stuff? I've accumulated it all. And it becomes like that dung that gets matted up in the sheep's wool that causes me to become cast. I get so distracted and so caught up in my stuff. We're so much like sheep. And the last thing, you know, we think about pregnant sheep. Sometimes the labor of ministry, sometimes the work involved in bearing fruit for the Lord it's wearisome, isn't it? And we can become cast. We can become discouraged and downtrodden because we're laboring and it doesn't seem to be producing anything, or we're just tired. You know, when the shepherd restores the sheep, it's very important that oftentimes when the sheep is restored, the sheep won't be able to walk right away. If you set that sheep up because the blood has rushed down out of its legs and because of other issues that have taken place, there are gases that start to accumulate and whatnot, the sheep will not be able to walk or stand even. And so it takes care and time for that shepherd to stand there with the sheep, massaging its legs and working with the sheep to restore it so that that sheep can eventually walk on its own. Now, I want you to think about your good shepherd. Because sometimes we as believers, there's two things that we do. When our brother or sister gets cast, when our brother or sister is in need of restoration, what do? We put on our critical hat and we stand in judgment and say, oh, well, it serves him right. Or if he wouldn't have done that, or and you fill in the blank of how we judge one another. Or when we become cast, we judge ourselves and we lie there helpless. But the Lord is a good shepherd. Jesus loves his sheep. And he's there willing to come alongside and set that sheep up and restore that sheep and work with it so that that sheep can walk again. He restores our soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. He guides me in the paths of... You know, sheep are creatures of habit and will wear the ground out by walking to their favorite eating site. They will literally run a rut into the ground that will cause erosion problems and destroy the land if let go. They need to be led into the paths where they can eat. And here it is interesting that they're led in the paths of righteousness. You know, sheep are followers. Sheep will follow one another. In July of 2005, in Turkey, 1,500 sheep jumped off a cliff because one sheep led the way. One sheep went off the cliff that the sheep thought it could jump to the other side. And so the sheep went up and tried to jump and didn't make it. And 1,500 sheep followed that sheep off the cliff. 450 of them died. The only reason they all didn't die, and this, I'm sorry, but the dead ones created a landing zone that was padded. The shepherds were nearby, but they weren't there close enough, and they watched in horror as all these sheep just jumped off the cliff. How like sheep we are. Who are you following? If you're not careful, you'll follow someone right off a cliff. Sheep are followers. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." Are you hearing the voice of your good shepherd and are you following him? Sometimes that means going against the grain, goes against the crowd. In fact, it generally means going against the crowd. This world is headlong jumping off cliffs into the destruction. We as believers need to understand that it's Jesus that leads us into the paths of righteousness. It's he that we follow, not each other. And finally, this morning, for sake of time, we're talking about this. It is for his name's sake. Now, this is hard. This is hard for us. And I imagine that even real sheep, you know, out there in the pasture land, they probably don't give a lot of thought most of the time to their shepherd. They're out there eating their grass and they're drinking their water and they're butting each other. And hopefully they're not following each other off of cliffs. But they're not giving a lot of thought to their shepherd. But when the shepherd is present, when the shepherd is there, you know, many of these things that we've been talking about, the problems the sheep have is solved by the presence of the shepherd. Even that butting order, when the shepherd is there, the sheep are distracted by the presence of the shepherd and they don't tend to contend with one another. But are the sheep sitting there in the field thinking to themselves, you know, I'm a good sheep and this is all for my shepherd. I'm gonna graze out here and I'm gonna grow and I'm gonna produce wool or lambs for my shepherd because I love my shepherd. And we can be like that, can't we? We can forget. We can get so caught up in our lives that we can forget that it's for his name's sake. It's for his name's sake. When you think about it, think about shepherds. What is their reputation built upon? Isn't it built upon the quality of the herd? A shepherd would have a reputation in the community for having a good flock, for having good pasture land, for having healthy sheep, right? And the Lord is the good shepherd, and he is very jealous of his reputation. He says of himself, I am the good shepherd. And he cares for you and for me so that his name, his reputation will be made much of. And when we are right in our minds and in our hearts, we need to remember that though we are sheep for his benefit, not for our own. And that's hard. Because we want this world and this life to be about me. We want it to be about us. And it is really hard from the heart to say, Lord, this life is not about me. It's about you. And I want to wrap up this morning just by challenging us with something. We as a church have gone through heartache, and not just recently, although recently we've gone through heartache. We've gone through trauma and difficult times. And it's in those times when we can become very self-focused. We can begin to question the goodness of God. We can begin to shake our fists even at the Lord and say, why, Lord? Why did you let this happen to me? And we, you see, and I say this with all the gentleness and compassion of my heart, but that what we're saying to the shepherd is this is about me. This is about me. And what we're forgetting is that it's not about me. For his name's sake, not for mine. We've had significant loss. But I was reading a story. Think of an orchard. The orchard grower. Would we as the tender of that orchard, as the gardener of that orchard, put in charge of it for a time, would we begrudge the owner of the orchard to come and pluck the apples from his trees at any time he chooses? He takes what belongs to him. For his glory, for his goodness, not for us. And that's hard unless we can settle in our hearts with the idea that he's a good shepherd. He's a good shepherd, and he knows what is best for his sheep. And yes, it's for his name's sake, but he cares for us. And if you can rest in that, then you can lie down. Are you lying down? Are you lying down? Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you this morning for the goodness of your grace. We want to thank you this morning for the truth of your word. As we think about sheep and about their life patterns, Lord, we're reminded that you are the good shepherd. Lord, we're reminded that this life, our lives, Lord, they're not about us. It's about you. But Lord, at the same time, you love us and you care about us and you do that which is good for us. But sometimes we just don't understand, Lord. We don't understand what you're doing, and it feels like you're mistreating us. May you remind us in those times, Lord, that you're the good shepherd and that you don't mistreat your sheep. And that very many times, Lord, you do things for us and to us and around us for our good that just don't feel like good at the time. Father, I pray for everyone here this morning. I know that some here are struggling with anxiety, fear, worry. Some are struggling with anger. Some are struggling with frustration. Some are struggling with sadness. Oh Lord, may you comfort their hearts. May you help all of us to know that you're the good shepherd. And may we put our trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.